I will call to order the Wednesday, March 15th meeting of the Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee. We do not have a quorum at this time, but we do will, Representative Graffa, we'll have you start with your bill presentation on House File 1005, and then we will move that when we do have a quorum. We're just short a few folks at this time. Representative Graffa, welcome to the committee. If you will state your name and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. What this bill does is currently in statute, the Department of the Commissioner of Commerce and the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development are authorized to have four deputy commissioners. This changes it down to one, the intent being, number one, to either provide budget savings, or number two, to allow us to reprioritize more of those dollars into the areas of providing service delivery to the customers, to taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, whether they be in the area of regulatory enforcement or, in the case of DEDA, economic development. And so that's what this bill does. I would be requesting a fiscal note should this committee act favorably on the committee, and at that point we'll address it in the Finance Committee. But I have no further comments and no further testimony.
Member questions?
Mr. Chairman, do you want me to stick around until you have a quorum so we can take action?
That'd be a good idea because there may be some questions. And again, committee does start at 10:15. Given the time of the year, people may be a few minutes late for committee, but we always start at 10:15 in this committee. So,
and Mr. Chairman, just something that I learned from other committee chairs is that if the chairman says there's a quorum until a member moves otherwise to call for a quorum.
Well, see, Representative Graffa, you've already let the cat out of the bag on that because a member may do a quick count shortly. Member questions? Anyone from the public that wishes to testify on the matter that soon will be in front of the committee?
Chairman, you got any good Donald Trump jokes we can
I'm fresh out of jokes this morning.
Okay.
Representative Peterson.
For the fun of it, Representative Garofalo, is there anything stopping the agencies from hiring the current deputy commissioners back on under different titles?
Chair Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Peterson, the statute does not address that issue, but certainly there is not, the departments do not have maximum flexibility to spend whatever they want on whatever they want.
Representative Peterson, follow up. All right, well, I will now officially move House File 1005 before the committee to be re-referred to the Committee on Jobs. Any other discussion relative to House File 1005? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion carries. Representative Graffa, you are on your way.
Hey,
the next bill before us, House File.
What was the committee you moved it to?
Jobs.
Thank you.
House File 1007, Representative Vogel. 1037, Representative Vogel. Welcome to the committee, Representative Vogel. I will move House File 1037 for the committee to be re-referred to the Committee on Jobs. Welcome. Go ahead with your bill presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1037 requires legislative approval for housing plans if they're included in the Thrive 2040 plan, and let's see here. It has three sections. The first deals with development guides, which requires the legislature to approve. The second is affordable life cycle goals, which requires a submission and prohibits the adopting the goals until the legislature has approved or it has adjourned. And Section 3 deals with affordable life cycle housing opportunities amount and allows the legislature to approve or modify. And if the legislature does not act, then the council may proceed. So what this is doing is saying that if there's going to be a housing plan that tends to look like a system plan, that the legislature needs to be involved in it first and looking at especially the goals that are set and the cities are held accountable to, because the legislature really becomes a check and a balance on this system so that we don't end up with another system plan, basically.
Representative Vogel, thank you. Member questions of the bill author before we bring up testifiers? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. We do have the Legislative Commission on Metro Governance. Is it your intent to take away their authority or oversight?
Representative Vogel.
Mr. Chair and Representative, the intent isn't to take over control as much as to put balance into the system. Right now, if the Thrive 2040 is adopted with the housing plan and the requirement is in there with the development guidelines that say that this has to be done, it doesn't give the cities, I realize that there's input, and you'll probably hear from other testifiers, that there's dialogue going on. What this does is it says if they're going to do things that are going to say that you have to have this type of housing and this many units and so forth, that the legislature needs to approve it for the basic plan approval process. And then going a little farther on the affordable life cycle and the affordable life cycle opportunities amount, that the legislature can intervene if it wants, but needs to be informed of them.
Representative Mason, follow up.
I don't think my question is really answered, but we can proceed. Thank you.
All right. Any other member questions at this time? If not, I will ask the two testifiers I have signed up in advance to come forward, Lisa Barajas, and then followed by Ms. Barajas, we'll have Ms. Nauman. And again, if there's any member of the public that would like to testify on the matter before the committee, ask you to see James LePage. He'll get you in queue and get you set up. Ms. Nauman, you're going to go first. That's great. Welcome to the committee. State your name, who you represent, and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Cities, representing cities in the 7-county metropolitan area before the legislature and the Metropolitan Council. Metro Cities would have concerns with provisions in House File 1037 that would require legislative approval over negotiated housing goals for communities in the 7-county region. And the reason for that is we believe that this sort of type of legislative oversight is not necessary and would in fact impede the ability of local units of government, take away their ability to work with the Metropolitan Council to negotiate those goals, which are negotiated for the purposes of distributing funds under the Livable Communities account programs, which fund a variety of redevelopment and economic development programs in local communities. These goals are negotiated every 10 years, and during the last round, Metro Cities, working with the group of city officials, did convene meetings with the Metropolitan Council and successfully negotiated a formula by which to determine the criteria for those housing goals. So we are concerned that, again, this would add additional oversight and approval that would, in fact, impede the ability of cities in this region to negotiate goals at the local level for receiving LCA funding. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Nauman, why don't you just hang tight? We'll see if there's any member questions at this time. Questions of Ms. Nauman. Representative Joaquim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Nauman, under Section 3, is most of this money through the Livable Communities Grant, and that's what is going to be affected?
Mr. Chair and Representative Joaquim, yes. The negotiated housing goals, and these goals, and certainly Lisa Barajas can talk to this as well, but these goals are negotiated for the purposes of the Livable Communities grant program.
Representative Joaquim, follow up?
Maybe I'll ask Ms. Barajas when she comes up.
Very good. Other questions for Ms. Nauman at this time from members? Seeing none? Oh, Representative Peterson, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I'm new to this committee. So what is the Livable Communities Grant? I mean, how is that funded? Is it, if you could just tell me a little bit more.
Happy to. Mr. Chair and Representative Peterson, the Livable Communities account program there are three accounts under that program. One is the demonstration account, which funds a variety of economic development and redevelopment goals for local communities. There is a tax-based revitalization account, which essentially funds a sort of soil remediation or cleanup with the goal of revitalizing tax base. And then there is the local incentives housing account, which funds affordable housing. And the accounts are funded through the regional tax levy, and also there's $5 million coming from the fiscal disparities levy to fund that. I think it's about, the Metropolitan Council can clarify, but I believe it's somewhere in the range of a $13 million per year program. And Metro Cities does support the Livable Communities program and its accessibility for cities in the region to participate.
Representative Peterson, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so basically it's a property tax that is grant program that is distributed through Met Council. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chair and Representative Peterson, yes, that is correct.
Other member questions of Ms. Nauman at this time? Ms. Nauman, we'll just have you hang tight in case there's something that comes up later. And Ms. Cindy Barajas, we'll have you come forward. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, or pretty darn close anyhow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Lisa Barajas, and thank you. That was very close. I would like to say that the Metropolitan Council respectfully opposes this bill for the following reasons. And I'll first start with the housing planning function. Under existing statutes in the Metropolitan Land Planning Act, the council is required to plan for the regional need for affordable and life cycle housing, or the need for what is defined in statute as low to moderate income housing in the region. That then is further described as a requirement for local governments to plan for their share of the region's need. The council's housing plan basically describes that need, how it was determined, the conditions in the region that lead to these types of needs existing, what exists in the past, our current housing stock, basically all of the circumstances in the region that lead the council to describe what our need is for the following decade, which is approximately 35,000 new households that will have a need for low to moderate income housing. So I want to separate out that section because that is a requirement under our law, under our statutory direction to plan for the regional housing need. So we have concern with legislative approval over something we're already directed to do. Secondly, the sections 2 and 3 refer to a Livable Communities Act programs. And I would echo Metro City's concerns regarding legislative approval or oversight over a negotiated goal. As Ms. Nauman had stated, that goal was negotiated with all of the communities and Metro Cities in the room agreeing to a fair formula that's then fairly applied across all communities in the region. With a secondary approval authority over those negotiated goals, we'd have concern that then those goals would not be fairly distributed around the region, and that some folks may have an increased goal, other communities may have a lower goal, and folks may not come to the table to in good faith to negotiate those goals with other communities and with the Metropolitan Council. And finally, on the ALHOA amounts, or the Affordable Life Cycle and Housing Opportunity amounts, those are expenditures that are required by local governments to participate in the Livable Communities program. Their local expenditures essentially represents their skin in the game, so to speak, that they're spending local dollars to support the production, maintenance, and continuation of affordable housing within their communities, and not solely relying upon a regional-wide grant program to promote affordable housing in their community. That formula for determining that ALHOA amount is already defined in statute. Actually, if you would turn to page 2 of of the bill, at the bottom, beginning in line 2.23, that amount is defined there in sections A and B. And the council would recommend that if the legislature would like to change the way that formula is determined, that it do so in the clear parameters that are already set out in statute. We have concern with the potential for those numbers to change without any clear indication as to why those numbers would be different or any oversight or in any regard for how that might impact other communities. So I do want to separate the two. The Livable Communities Act program is a voluntary program that communities participate in under the parameters that are outlined in that section of statute pertaining to livable communities, whereas the housing plans are related to a community's obligation for long-range planning under the Metropolitan Land Planning Act. Thank you. I'd be available for any questions should you have them.
Members, questions for the testifier this morning? Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Barajas. My city and the cities I represent are very familiar with the Livable Communities Grant because most of what we've used it for is soil remediation and leveraging private public dollars. In cities that are fully developed, it's really hard sometimes to get a site cleaned up enough for another developer to come in to redevelop. And the Livables Community Grant has been really a lifesaver in maintaining our commercial and industrial stock and our housing stock. It concerns me a little bit that somebody could come in if we have a legislative approval when we've negotiated either our regional housing goal with the Met Council, the Livables Community Grant goals. We've negotiated that at a local level because we know what our community needs, and now somebody in the legislature, let's say from Albany or Moorhead, could come in and trump that. So they're trumping what we've negotiated locally with these regional dollars that are our dollars. So that's my concern with the bill. And then I had one other quick question, because I, thinking back to a bill we had dealing with Oak Grove, they had 14 changes to the housing guidelines in 5 years that were amended and the Met Council accepted. Would each of those changes have to then come before the legislature under this bill? I'm trying to kind of figure that out.
Ms. Barajas, you may not be familiar with the Oak Grove bill, so you may be being caught up a little off guard by the question from Representative Joaquin, but I'll certainly give you a chance to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually am very familiar with the Oak Grove bill, but I appreciate that. In the case of Oak Grove, they were amending their land use designations or for particular properties and increasing densities. And in their case, it didn't impact their affordable housing need. They don't have a need. They're not a community that has wastewater service. That need is currently designated for only communities in the metropolitan area that have a wastewater service. They do have an existing need, an existing housing stock that they need to maintain. But to your point a little further, that to require legislative approval over these affordable and life cycle housing goals does raise concern that should the council and any particular local government decide that through negotiation that they would like to change that we would need to come back to the legislature to have that renegotiated goal approved and be subject to whatever the politics of the day are as well. So that lends a level of uncertainty to a program, especially because goals are required to be negotiated and adopted in order for a community to be eligible to even participate in the program.
Representative Joaquin, follow-up?
No, thank you. That was
other member, thank you. Other member questions at this time? We'll just have you stick around in case there are other questions that come up. Is there any member of the public that would like to testify on the matter before the committee this morning? Anyone wishing to testify on the matter before the committee on House File 1037? Seeing none, other member questions at this time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And listening to the discussion troubles me a bit. And Representative Vogel, I've always appreciated your thoughtfulness that you take on when you approach legislation, and your banker's point of view, I think, has been really helpful to me on numerous occasions. However, in this situation, I'm getting this feeling that we are getting into territory where we are doing the job of our local city councils and representing a community that's, you know, whose city council has a 95% job approval rating, which I think is a little higher than the legislature. I could be wrong. I am loath to get in between that relationship. The other thing that keeps coming back in my mind, a couple things. One is the city that I represent, Egan, has done pretty spectacular work when it comes to planning, particularly redevelopment. We are about beyond 95% capacity in terms of our development, but redevelopment is going along swimmingly and thoughtfully on all ends of the spectrum. Egan took an early put an early stake in the ground when it comes to affordable housing, and our community has really supported it to the point where our community really celebrated a homeless youth facility being opened in our community. There was no NIMBY. It was all celebration. And it's been clear to me that other localities around us have been slower to the uptake, if you will, with its lifestyle housing stock, and Egan has taken on a lot of that. And the infrastructure that goes along with that, the city has taken on some road redevelopment because we couldn't wait for the county to do it, because we were trying to expand our lifestyle housing and our in relationship to a lot of the redevelopment that's going on in Eagan. So that's a concern for me. The other thing that's a concern for me is a few years ago I heard testimony in this committee from a local mayor of a community who said, we don't need to do affordable housing. Those people on the other side of the border can do it. And that's a concern to me, that kind of parochialism could get in the way of community planning and from communities taking on a responsibility to serve their citizens. So that communities who do it right and are thoughtful and planful somehow end up being penalized because their neighbors are less willing to be thoughtful and planful. So that is a variety of concerns that I shared with you, Representative Vogel, but I just wanted you to know where my head is currently on this bill.
Representative Vogel, did you want to respond to the statement?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative, I recognize that this has been a thorny issue that's been getting thornier. And for many of the reasons that you listed, and they're all legitimate questions to have, my feeling on this has been that because this is taking the shape of a much larger presence than it probably used to, and getting into things like even transit-oriented development and so forth, that it's time for the legislature to be kind of a stopgap and to look at this, not getting into an individual basis, and I understand the negotiating thing. Negotiating works well for those that it works well for, and some it might not work so well for. And what this does is basically give the legislature a backstop, or give those all the cities a backstop, because it's. I know negotiating is never easy for any of these cities, but for some it might become particularly troublesome. And by looking at a housing plan overall and having the authority, where the authority has come from in the first place, and I think that's the important thing to realize here, is that the Met Council is an authority that's been given by the legislature, and basically this is the legislature saying, if you're going to do things with a housing plan and enforce it in the comp planning process, then we want to be part of that process because it does affect the region and in fact maybe the whole state, because that's where the power came from in the first place, because we do have a Met Council that has taxing authority without elected officials, and the legislature has given that authority to the council to levy those taxes. So I do see a purpose for the legislature in this area, and recognize that it's not always going to be easy, and the legitimates are certainly there, and the concerns are legitimate are there, but by the same token, I think the legislature at this point needs to assert itself a little and put themselves in place for this.
Other member questions? Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Vogel. First of all, I was on the Eagan City Council when livable communities was implemented, and we were able to use that to advantage. My question goes back again to the Legislative Commission on Metro Governance. Shouldn't that be the responsibility of that group to provide the oversight? To my mind, you're duplicating an entity that we already have that should be dealing with that, with the oversight.
Representative Vogel.
Mr. Chair and Representative, at this point, my feeling was that the best way to address this was bringing it back to the legislature, because the Thrive 2040 has proved to provide quite a bit of discussion, and I just feel that this is the best way to handle it.
You're entitled to your opinion. Thank you. I think you're wrong.
Okay. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to echo Representative Mason's statements. We have that commission as oversight. It's bipartisan, and it's made up of legislators that are from that metro area. So I can't think of a place better than to come forward to maybe approve these plans. If you're going to have approval of process, do it at that local level with the legislators that are in the metro region. It's a bipartisan commission. It can meet as much as the chairs deem it to meet. The gavel goes back and forth. So if you're going to have some oversight, that's really where it belongs.
Other member questions at this time? All right. No public testimony from earlier, and no more member questions. I will renew my motion that House File 1037 be referred to the Committee on Jobs. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Representative Vogel, you are on your way. Representative Christensen, you do have the next bill up, 1345, and as you are making your way to the testifying table and preparing for your bill, I'm going to ask Representative Sozinski, have you had a chance to review the minutes from the March 14th meeting?
Yes, I have. Thank you. I'd like to move those minutes.
Representative Kuczynski moves the minutes from March 14th. Any questions, corrections? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails. Representative Christensen, I will move House File 1345 before the committee to be referred to the committee, or excuse me, to the General Register. With that, the bill is before the committee. Representative Christensen, welcome. Please present your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I was wondering if you could also move the A-17 amendment.
Oh, you're asking a lot this morning. We'll be happy. Representative Sozinski. Okay. Representative Christensen, I will move the A-17 amendment to get the bill in the form that the author appreciates. I thought that other statement would be funnier than it was. Sorry. It's just...
Maybe thank you, Mr. Chair. It was,
maybe we just need a little more coffee or something around here this morning. I'm not sure. So with that, I will move the A-17 amendment. Any questions on the A-17 amendment, members? If not, all those in favor of the A-17 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails. The bill is now in the order that you would like. Representative Christensen, please proceed with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 1345 was brought to me by several cities, including my own city, the City of Savage. And it deals with the amount that cities and other organizations, county school districts, and American Legions, the amount they're allowed to expend in a year on awards and trophies. And currently, what was put in the statute in 1957 is $800. $800 in 1957 is a lot more money today, as well as most of this money that they're spending, or really all the money that they're spending on awards and trophies, that sort of thing, for recreational programs is just pass-through money that people are paying to participate in t-ball leagues, softball leagues, those sorts of things, and we're just allowing them to use those registration fees and sponsorships from local businesses on awards and trophies. And I'll... it's supported by the League of Minnesota Cities. I think they're going to come down and talk about that they support it, and then I'm ready to stand for questions.
Representative Christensen, thank you. Before we bring any testifiers, any member questions at this time? Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why is, is it normal for state statute to limit the spending of veterans organizations? I'm just surprised. I know it's existing law. I'm just surprised to see the statutory reference to the American Legion and other incorporated veterans organizations here.
Let's ask Ms. Dyson. She hasn't had to answer any questions here today, so I just thought he'd make her a part of the conversation. Ms. Dyson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Freiberg, I'm not positive, but if that portion of the statute goes back to 1945, and in 1945, there, the chapter governing fraternal organizations and other nonprofit corporations actually listed the corporations and included some that there was one that was La Société des 40 Hommes et 8 Horses. Anyways, 40 men and 8 horses. I mean, there's a laundry list of these fraternal organizations that are actually in statute in 1945. I think this is a carryover. The veterans or the American Legion is was part of that, and I think it's an interaction of how corporations were authorized a long time ago and this may be a carryover. I don't have a full history on this. I was looking it up yesterday to figure out why is the American Legion listed. But I think it goes back to that. But I would be reluctant to recommend taking anything out without further research. So But anyway, it is an old statute.
Maybe as this moves forward, that could be researched, and if it's appropriate, taken out, just so that we're not inadvertently somehow making our veterans organizations non-compliant with state law. So, just a suggestion.
Thank you. The bill author is taking copious notes on that discussion, I'm sure.
Of course, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Christensen, for carrying this. Just kind of, you know, we hear a lot about in the news about organizations and cities and groups just giving a lot of participation awards. Is that the need to, because there's this increase, to kind of make sure everyone's a winner? Is that why we have to increase this amount, or what's the...
I'm dying to hear your response, Representative Christensen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swazinski, you know, I think, you know, certainly I think participation trophies would be part of that. I don't think that's necessarily the purpose. Behind the need, you know, for example, a large city might have quite a few different recreational leagues, you know, t-ball leagues all the way up to the ages. That adds up to a lot of trophies, and $800, you can get to that pretty fast.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to maybe give Representative Christensen like a gold star from our committee for participating today, if we have any left.
We don't have any left. We never had any to start out with. I think this is a great time to bring down Ms. Ziegler to get us out of where we are right now in our discussions. Ms. Ziegler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Laura Ziegler.
Thanks for bailing us out.
With the League of Minnesota Cities. I just wanted to thank Representative Christensen for carrying this League-supported initiative. As he mentioned, it's a very straightforward bill back from 1957. I wish I had a good story for the committee, but council did provide some very interesting background on this. So I'm here for any questions.
Ms. Ziegler, just a quick question, and I don't expect anybody to do math. I think this will make the point as to why this needs to be changed. Inflation adjusted from 1957 to 2017, a 60-year period of time. It's going to be worth a lot more than $800 from what statute was looking at. So it's probably, you'll pick a number close to $5,000, $6,000 just off the top of my head if you look at inflation. So that's kind of what I think we're looking at. Ms. Ziegler, would you care to comment on my assessment on that?
Mr. Chair, you are very close. It's just under $7,000 if you were to adjust for inflation.
Member questions for Ms. Ziegler? Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know the caption on the statute says recreation facility, so it's certainly implied that these are trophies related to recreation, youth recreation, that sort of thing. But as I read the statute language, it just says, you know, cities can expend funds available for the purchase of awards and trophies. You know, sometimes I know cities purchase awards or recognition things for city employees who retire after a long time. You know, after I left the city council, I got a nice bowl from the city of Golden Valley with my name on it. I'm just wondering, would that be covered by the statutory language here as well?
My hunch is no, but I'm going to ask Ms. Dyson, because I think you answered it in your own setup, Representative Freiberg, because this is recreational, and as much as we enjoy our local service, it wasn't maybe recreational. But Ms. Dyson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Freiberg, I don't see something like that specifically listed, but I'd defer to the League if they have additional information at this point.
Nicely done. Ms. Ziegler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Freiberg, that's my understanding, that it would be separate because these are recreational activities related to those. So, you know, we would interpret it rather broadly to maybe even include something like a T-shirt or things of that nature, not just a certificate or a medal or things of that nature. We would interpret it rather broadly, but it would be for those participants that are participating directly in that soccer league or T-ball league or park and rec program.
Ms. Ziegler, in Representative Christensen's setup, he was talking about pass-through money. I think that's probably a good way to think about this. You're forming different recreational leagues, which are parents are signing their kids up probably as we speak for those kinds of things. And so you bring in $25 for a child, and there's a T-shirt that's given and those kinds of things. It's pass-through money. It comes in as an income. It goes out as an expense to support the program. Although they become city funds at that point, they would need to be governed by this because they are city funds. And what we're looking to do is to get with the times, if you will, from 800 to what's practicable.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, that is accurate. We would say, in talking with my Parks and Recs folks, they would account for the registration fees to cover any of these types of items, but once the city collects it, we don't distinguish between those private funds and public dollars.
Other member questions? Anyone from the public wishing to testify on the matter before the committee? House File 1345. Anyone wishing to testify on 1345? Seeing none and hearing none, no additional member questions that I can see. Representative Christensen, we will give you the last word, sir.
Mr. Chair, members, I would leave the committee with letting everyone know that when I was on the T-ball team in Savage in 1998.
Please do not tell us the, oh, you did it.
The sponsors were the Savage UPS store.
Representative Christensen, I will renew my motion that House File 1345, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. Representative Christensen, you are on your way, sir. And our final bill for this morning is House File 1640. And I see that Representative Flanagan is here as she's making her way to the testifying table to present her bill. I will move House File 1640 to be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Flanagan. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for hearing this bill today, because this is my first time appearing in front of this committee. I have brought treats, as I believe is standard.
Well, we should have had you here earlier.
You can put some in your pocket and save them for later. Take them with you, because many of us will have a long day. So I am excited to chat a bit about House File 1640. I do have an amendment. So I'd like to get it in the shape that I think it should be moving forward.
Representative Flanagan, I will move the A1 amendment to House 1640 to get it in the shape that you would like. Members, questions on the A1 amendment? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment passes and prevails. The bill is now in the shape that you would like. Representative, proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So essentially, this bill is really about it's a fairness issue. If you work for a fire department in a city that is not under a civil service commission, there are no restrictions on you regarding your political activity. Yet if you're in a fire department that is under civil service, under a civil service commission, you are prohibited from donating or soliciting donations to a political party or a political purpose. There are very few fire departments that are under the purview of the civil service commissions. The great majority are simply a department within a city like any other city department. You could be doing the same exact work in a fire department, but if you're under a civil service commission, you're restricted and penalized for political activity, and your peers are not. And I don't believe this is fair or just, and I think that this is a bill that is supportive of our firefighters and the good work that they do in our community, and would like to turn it over to my testifier, if that is all right with you, Mr. Chair.
Certainly. Before we do that, member questions for Representative Flanagan? Seeing none, sir, if you'll introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stuart Williams. I'm an attorney in private practice in Minneapolis, and 2 years ago I was appointed to the St. Louis Park Civil Service Commission. I read Chapter 420 for the first time and was dismayed to see that it made it a crime for a firefighter to make a contribution to any political party. It was grounds for discharge of the firefighter, and it made it a crime for anyone even to ask a firefighter for a campaign contribution. That means when a firefighter is asked to check the box on his state tax return, or his state tax return, you want to make a $5 contribution to a political party of your choice, they're committing a crime and can be discharged. I believe that this language in the statute that was enacted some 90 years ago violates the freedom of association and freedom of speech guaranteed by the First Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. And so that's the reason I'm urging the committee to consider passing this bill to remove these two provisions. There are several other minor provisions that allow the commission to operate more effectively by allowing the commission to meet at the fire department so on-duty firefighters can participate. The bill also allows 90 days rather than 30 days to fill vacancies on the fire commission. When I was appointed, it took more than 90 days for them to find a replacement, and so I think that makes for a more effective operation of the city council to find qualified people. So I'd urge you to vote passage of this bill.
Mr. Williams, if you hang by, we'll see if there's any member questions at this time. Seeing no member questions, is there anyone else from the public who'd like to testify on the matter before the committee? House File 1640. House File 1640. Seeing none and hearing none. Other member questions? Seeing none, hearing none. Representative Flanagan, you get to wrap up the show.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would ask for your support on this bill.
Representative Flanagan, I will renew my motion that House File 1640 be re-referred to the General Register, as amended, be re-referred to the committee, to the General Register. Let me say that again so we are clear. I will renew my motion that House File 1640, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails.
Thank you.
No other business before the committee today. We are adjourned.